The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. We appreciate it, however you're taking us in. It's Gil Alexander. It's producer number nine, Kelly Bidlin. So much more than a producer, though.
So, just standing back here planning my music video shoot for later.
Yeah.
We're all going to get on a bridge and just dance. Have someone shoot it from 300 yards away.
So I recited some Poor Righteous Teachers' Rock This Funky Joint lyrics earlier, and we're looking at the video. And this was all those videos back in the day. They, like, found some random bridge in, like, New Jersey.
Just bridges and
like,
rooftops.
Just get on the bridge. Well, it's like if you watch those old Jodeci, as I was mentioning, like, Forever My Lady Jodeci, it's like they got the guys that are like, hey, Devontae. Oh, you guys, could you get on a rock? I know you guys don't want to shoot this. I know you're in a bad mood, but just stand on a rock. And they're like so listless before. It's amazing. Those old 90s videos.
And the, remember the old Seminole rap? I wonder if Pritch had that over at Colorado.
Oh, we'll find
the
out.
Buffalo rap.
Oh, let's find out if he ever did one of those. Hold on one second, though. We got to do a pro tip before we get to
Mike. Oh, yeah, I forgot about pro tip.
Oh, Kelly.
What a lead into.
I know. I'm sorry.
I ruined it.
Pro tip, just ruining it. Pro tip from earlier this hour. If looking at betting Yankees futures, keep in mind this Aaron Judge move doesn't change anything with the team. In fact, if you're a modeler and you're projecting his numbers, it's got to be lower than what he did last year. You're just rolling back the same thing here. Keep that in mind. That's really for newer bettors. Every pro tip searchable at VSiN.com. That's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show. So that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a very busy man. He has about 8 radio hits a day, television hits. But nothing will be more big time than him, than his appearance on the Megapod tomorrow. It's Mike Pritchard, VSiN Zone. How you doing, Mike?
I'm great, Gil, Kelly, everybody. I'm hanging in there. It's been a crazy few days lately.
Yeah, you are. What is this? Is this your normal sort of media regimen that you do all these shows? What's going on?
Well, it added to it because of the news with the jerseys that involved the jerseys
yes.
behind me. So, yeah, that obviously picked up a lot of steam. And but the normal regimen for me is, yeah, a lot of hits during the week, which is good, though. I mean, VSiN's all over the place right now, and a lot of people want to consume what we deliver. So
yeah.
It's flattering. It's awesome.
Has Dion offered you a job yet?
Yeah, I was going to say, let's break some news. Let's break some news. Are you the new offensive coordinator of the Colorado Buffaloes?
Oh, no. Dion knows what he's doing. He hired a really good he's assembling a really good coaching staff right now. I just want to be around it, though. I want to suck it all in, though. I'm going to give out to Boulder as soon as Dion gets out there and, you know, certainly catch up, but then also just watch the man work. It's going to be highly, highly impressive, I believe.
Give me an over-under on the number of years Dion, by the way, for those who don't know, Mike Pritchard was Dion's teammate with the Atlanta Falcons in the early 90s. Give me the over-under on the number of years he will be at Colorado.
Well, I think the contract's 5 years, right? So I'm hoping 5. Over-under, we'll put it at 4.5.
I was going to say, let me rephrase that question. How many years will he be at Colorado? Yes. Okay.
Right. I'll put it 4.5,
okay.
Hopefully. No, I think he's committed. I mean, Dion... and you know this. I mean, he's a guy who's passionate about what he does. He believes in his ability, and he wants to bring the program back to where everybody wants it to be. And certainly, that's competitive. We all wanted to be competitive again.
Okay, let's get back to a discussion I was having earlier on the show with Drew Dinsick mm-hmm. about the difference. And we were saying it earlier this week as well, as I'm sure everybody was. The news that Jimmy G was going to be out for the season, now we find out he might be back for the divisional round of the playoffs. That's sort of how the timetable is. And then, of course, the Lamar Jackson week-to-week injury in Baltimore. Yeah. It's one thing for us as handicappers to say, in Drew's case, he's like, I think it's a 6-point difference between Jimmy G and Brock Purdy. I think it's a 6-point difference between Lamar Jackson and Tyler Huntley. As a player, mm-hmm. You don't even have to use points. I just want you to express to us what you feel the difference is in both of those situations.
Well, it depends on the caliber of quarterback. I mean, if you are talking about an MVP like Lamar Jackson, and, you know, anybody other than Lamar Jackson, there's going to be a downgrade. And as a player, you know that. I think if you're Jimmy G, if you think about the 49ers, they surrounded Jimmy G with so many great players. To me, that's indicating in that locker room that he's a game manager. He's not a playmaker. He's not somebody who's going to be a difference maker either out there at all. So let's surround him with the most or the best players we can. And that'll elevate Jimmy G in that situation. So now I use that as a better, right? If you think about the landscape of the National Football League, Gil, too, there's so many backup quarterbacks starting right now or backup quality quarterbacks starting, and therefore the emphasis on the running game. I was just looking at some stats this week and just noticing, like the Pittsburgh Steelers, they have 8 total passing touchdowns. I mean, the bulk of the league are in the teens when it comes to passing touchdowns. Now, the elite team with the elite quarterback, obviously Kansas City, they lead the way. And, you know, Cincinnati is kind of catching up situation too, Josh Allen. I mean, there's a handful of guys that we consider, or I would consider, those elite quarterbacks that are just difference makers. But it is significant with Lamar Jackson going down to Huntley because Lamar is just that dynamic. But I don't know if it's that significant because you're going from one game manager to another when it comes to the 49ers.
One game manager to another with the 49ers. It is amazing to me, though, right? Because, again, Jimmy G does have a bit of a pedigree at this point. Hasn't won a Super Bowl. Certainly got there.
Right.
And then we're talking about mystery relevant. Like, the fact that that is, and I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying the fact that that is not a massive difference to some is an incredible thing, right? Like, that's incredible.
Yeah, you know, I mean, look at Jalen Hurts and the leap that he's making. You know, offenses are nowhere near what they used to be in terms of the learning curve as you leave college and then you get to the National Football League, the pro offense. I mean, college is in the National Football League. So Mr. Irrelevant, yeah, you're right. Brock Purdy, I mean, just manage the game, though. I mean, that's the game plan. We got all these elite players around you. Just don't make a mistake. Kind of like Andy Dalton, but Andy Dalton's not overwhelming. But look at the Saints now, though. I think the 49ers with that defense and that roster, they were going to go with Trey Lance, who was unproven as well. But he got hurt. Jimmy G gets hurt. And now we're okay with Brock Purdy as long as you can manage the game and not make that critical error out there. We're going to be okay.
Yeah. Yet the only reason I made my Niners futures bet was the day they decided to keep Jimmy G in the offseason.
Right.
And the only reason I'm happy about it again is because now I think Jimmy G might come back. So
yeah.
That the betting truth serum is still that for me. Maybe I'm wrong.
Right.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, did you take a look at the division? I mean, there's still the favorite, even though Geno is playing lights out up there. Yeah. So comparing quarterbacks in that situation, you would think there would be more respect for Geno Smith than the Seahawks.
People are having trouble respecting Geno, for sure. They're still not used to the idea that he's actually really good at football. And the Niners, as you say, are stacked right. Everywhere else. Let me ask you, I'll ask you this question, too. There's always the proverbial question of the team no one wants to play in the postseason. Mm-hmm. So not the obvious choices like the Eagles or the Bills or the Chiefs. Obviously, you don't want to play those teams. But what's the team, you know, that's either a low wild card team? Maybe they're not a low wild card team. Maybe they're a sort of lesser division winner. Maybe they're a team on the outside looking in currently. What is the team in each conference, the proverbial no one should want to play this team in a postseason one-off?
Yeah, I mean, I love the fact that you asked so many thought-provoking questions for me. And by the way, I LeVar Arrington, Michael Westbrook, and Champ Bailey say hello to you.
Oh, man.
I was at the College Football Hall of Fame dinner last night.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was an awesome night. This one's intriguing to me because the Titans are a team that they're so physical that you don't want to face them. But there's some rumblings going on out there in Tennessee right now. So we'll see what happens. I think the Bengals are starting to get hot. If the Lions find their way into the playoffs, which I don't think is going to happen, but just the way that they're playing, to me, that team is surging. The Raiders, another team that's surging. It's going to be hard for these teams like that to find themselves into the playoffs. But you know, teams that are there, I'm not buying the Buccaneers. I mean, they do have Tom Brady. I think it's he's going to have to do stuff that he did 10, 20 years ago. I mean, 15 years ago. So I think the Bengals, I'll go back to the Bengals, but, you know, the Ravens, I don't know if the Ravens are going to win that division. The Bengals are just surging right now, Gil, that they're highly impressive to me.
Yeah, the Buccaneers was kind of the impetus for the question because You know, I was hanging out again, just anecdotally, with a Cowboys fan friend of mine who said, this was before the Brady comeback Monday. He was saying this Sunday night when Cowboys were playing. He's like, honestly, the only teams I fear as a Cowboy fan. He said, Eagles, Niners, because of how stacked, as we just talked about with the Niners. And then he says, and Tom Brady at home. Because he's like, we, by the way, he refers to the Cowboys as we. He's like, we're going to have to go into Tampa Bay, and I just don't trust that Brady won't pull something out of his booty and make it happen. And then, of course, then the next night happened again, right, with the Bucs against the Saints. But you're not necessarily on board with that. Like, you think that's a little – it's hard to say anything with Tom Brady is exaggerated, but you would be in a playoff situation.
Yeah, I mean, the concern I would have would be on the Cowboys. I mean, the Cowboys should take care of business against Tampa Bay if that's the matchup. Tampa can't run the football. They have nowhere else to turn. They've skewed their pass-run ratio to well around 70%. I mean, they're one-dimensional. If you can match up, which I believe a lot of teams can, a lot of teams is going to be in the playoffs. You can match up with Julio. You can match up with Mike Evans, who's slumping, and then kind of contain Godwin. Where is Brady going to go? I mean, the offensive line is decimated, too. So one-dimensional. I know Brady's awesome, but I think it's fool's gold right now.
Okay. Well, you are a University of Colorado Hall of Famer and attending the College Football Hall of Fame yesterday. We should get you in that as well, shouldn't we? Can we have you?
Well, Rashawn Slam went in, which was awesome too for a first season.
There you go, your old teammate.
Yeah, that's right. Well, right after me. Yeah, absolutely.
Right after.
It's a great
you.
Night. Yep.
Mike,
yep.
Megapod tomorrow. Three best bets.
Yes,
we look forward to it, sir.
All right, sounds good.
Thank you for making the time, Mike Pritchard. Everybody, VSiN's own at MI Pritchard on Twitter. We'll come back. Will Hill on the NBA next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, if you missed any part of our show or anything on the VSiN schedule today, don't forget to check out our free sports betting podcasts. Catch replays of all our shows or download and listen on your schedule. Go to VSiN.com/podcasts and get Coast to Coast Hoops with Greg Hoops Peterson. Look at every major and some of the minor college basketball games on the upcoming schedule to find betting opportunities. Also, Beating the Book with Miguel Alexander, Pro Football Betting. Plus, we've got Hardwood Handicappers. Sometimes with the great Kelly Bidlin, by the way, with JVT. The GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi. Follow the Money. Many more. They're all free and available now at VSiN.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcast. This one here, by the way, a numbers game. Tuesday through Friday shows on a numbers game feed. Monday's Guessing Lines and then the Megapod, which we're doing with Mike Pritchard, Jeff Parles, Todd Wishnev and I tomorrow. Guessing Lines, Megapod on the Beating the Book feed.
That's right.
So just want to get that parsed out for people. Parsed out, baby. We get tweets, Kelly, at Beating the Book. Am I allowed to read some
what
tweets?
What you got?
This is from Primetime, Cowboys_Cubs1. Gil's Secret Sushi Restaurant is in extremely poor form. He uses another word to emphasize poor. Look what
happened. People coming down on you, man.
Look what happened to Babu's Restaurant due to Jerry not sharing its brilliance. Do be a very bad man. James Spivey, keep it to yourself, Gil. Remember what Yogi said. No one goes there anymore. It's too crowded. That's what I'm going to do, James Spivey. Toes in the Sand. Am I the only one who's finally streaming Suits originally on USA? Ashamed to say it took 6 episodes to realize that Rachel was Meghan Markle. Love that show. And she aight.
Who? What? Where? Why?
She is aight. Joe Negro.
Suits.
How dare you call out John Heyman? News just came out that arson judge signed a 7-to-10-year agreement with the incarcerated Giants of the CPL. Chris Heath. Drew is on 6 NBA sides tonight, but I only remember 5 of them. Well, we'll have them in the newsletter, VSiN.com/newsletter.
Be in the newsletter after we go back and re-listen to Drew rattle That's off
correct.
All 6 of them. Yeah.
That's correct. Bentley at the T Bentley. Tell me the sushi spot. I don't have the time to stalk you to find out. It's very, very straight to the point. Listen, I'm going to stalk. I don't have time to stalk you. Just tell it to me.
Yeah, time to stalk you for other things, but not for the sushi restaurant.
Ladies and gentlemen, he hosted a New York-centric podcast, and so the Aaron Judge news is very, very important to him as a Yankee guy or as a Mets guy or just a New York kind of guy. It's Will Hill, everybody, VSiN's own. How you doing, man?
Gil, what's going on? Yeah, I think the Yankees were in a position where they were kind of damned if they do, damned if they don't, because that's a very long contract, which is probably not going to age very well. But, hey, letting him walk out the door for a team that's probably not title-worthy even with him it isn't a good option either. So it was, it wasn't really a good outcome for them no matter what. But I think you have to keep a talent like that. Otherwise, I mean, they're just – such a business hit, such a hit from the, you know, baseball perspective. It's couldn't really afford to let him go.
It's a great point what you're making. Damned if they do, damned if they don't. It's like, you know, in business when they call something a loss leader. It almost feels like that with him long term. Short term, great, he's going to be awesome. Maybe not the numbers of last year. Certainly shouldn't expect that. But, you know, it becomes the albatross contract pretty quickly, right? He's on the other side of the age curve now. But the Yankees had to do this from like a PR standpoint kind of thing is what you're saying.
And on the field, I mean, this wasn't, I mean, that he was keeping the lineup together. If you take him out of that lineup, I mean, look at Kiner Falefa and, you know, Donaldson. It's a really mediocre to below average lineup with him having just one of the great all-time seasons. It pushed him like above average and got them to 100 or so wins. But, man, they really couldn't afford to lose, and there wasn't any alternatives on the market that are close to as good as him. But, again, now you turn and you have him for 9 years, $360 million. I would say 2 or 3 years in, it's going to be ugly. There's going to be some really dead, some really ugly years on his contract, Trey Turner's contract. But, hey, that's the game you're playing once you start to get to unrestricted free agency.
Yeah, and I made the point at the beginning of the show because we talked about much on this show about at the end of the, you know, during really the postseason mainly, how – again, 162 games juxtaposed against a more random playoff than ever before, and how it almost, you know, again, we're all human beings, so I don't expect GMs to be able to just draw the line and be like, we're not paying all these players to have a great regular season. But it certainly doesn't guarantee you titles. It guarantees you, not guarantees you, but it sets you up for a great regular season. But then after that, it's the old Billy Bean thing, right? It's just a crapshoot no matter what. And so I wonder if anybody's worth that kind of money, really. If the object is to get titles, because at that point, you just kind of throw teams up in the air.
I would look at it from a Yankees perspective. They make so much money; they're worth $7 billion. And look, there's no salary cap. I know there's a luxury tax, but they've let so many guys just go to other teams, whether it's Machado, Harper, Seager, Freeman, where it's like if you sign one or two of these guys, when you have a title window and you print money the way they print money, I mean, you go to a Yankee game, it's like $65 just to park. So they can afford these guys, and they probably would have won a title or maybe gone to a World Series in the last 5 years if they got one or two of these guys. But it's a tough scenario because the back end of those contracts don't look pretty. But, you know, the alternative is you save money and you watch somebody else hold up the trophy.
Have you made any baseball futures bets for next year?
I have not. A lot of the markets are down. I mean, Texas moved to what, like 30-1? That's way too short. I mean, that's not a title team. They're interesting down the road once they get Jack Leiter and who's it, Rocker, the kid from Vanderbilt, together with DeGrom, but right now their pitching's not good enough. I mean, somebody on Twitter, I forget who was, had a good line. They're spending a lot of money to win 78 games next year.
It's fascinating, but I still believe there are bets out there. Somebody put up season wins already too, which is unheard
that
of.
That would interest me.
Yeah.
That would interest me. I haven't seen those though.
One shop did. Okay. How about the NBA? Anything these days in the NBA that you're betting? Anything today?
Not betting much. I do bet the Kings. Anytime I remember to look at the odds for the NBA, I usually bet the Kings. They're fun to watch. They're fun to bet. So I think it's plus 6.5 or so in Milwaukee tonight. So that is my one bet. They are a joy to watch. I'm sure Kelly watches a bunch of them. They are a league pass treat. They're fun.
Yeah, I think you, Drew, and myself will all be on that side tonight. I was hoping to see a 7 there, but I just saw two shops tick down to 6. So 6.5 might be as good as I'm going to get. Also, news coming out, I just bought off my Celtics bet because Chris Paul intends to play tonight now after missing 14 straight games.
All right. Kanye, have anything to say about that? Nothing?
Come on.
Okay, what about Army, Navy, or college bowl season, or the playoffs themselves? What have you bet so far?
Let's see. I did bet one in college basketball. I bet Brown plus 5.5 against URI. URI making 4 threes per game, shooting 24% from 3. So I like Brown here. They're actually a little bit better of an offensive team, shooting 45% from the field. So Brown plus 5.5 is a play. I like both the dogs in the college football playoffs. I worry about Ohio State holding up in the trenches. That defensive line for Georgia is just so good. So I don't know if Ohio State can pull off the upset, but is it still 7 in that one?
Still 7. 6.5,
I like
7.
The 7.
Yeah,
I like the 7. Obviously, you need the 7 if you're going to bet it. And I like TCU. I think anything over a touchdown's value with TCU. I don't know that Michigan's going to blow them out. I think TCU's been disrespected all year, and I think TCU hangs in that game. So I haven't bet it yet, but I like both dogs. And I was going to use my time on here to sort of campaign for Duggan to win the Heisman.
Yeah.
But since everyone turns their ballots in on like Halloween weekend, there's no point.
That's what I'm saying, man. That's what I said yesterday. I'm like, I'd love to talk my 100-1 on Duggan in. What is your number on Duggan, by the way?
Yeah, I think the same.
I mean, I'd love to talk at home, but objectively, it's because the ballots were handed out a week early. And I mean, you can speculate what percentage handed them in before championship weekend, because all of those are going to be Caleb, right? All of those. So I don't know. If they sneak it, if TCU wins that game and goes undefeated, do you think do you think we would be having a different conversation right now?
Yes. Yes. I don't know that he'd win, but I think it'd be at least in the range where you could hedge on Caleb Williams, where he's like minus 600, minus 500, something like that, maybe even shorter. Maybe I'm exaggerating, but if he wins, there's such a narrative like, you know, he carried the team to victory. He's crying after the game. He's bloodied and battered, and he leads them to a comeback undefeated season. I think he'd have a sliver of a chance. I don't know. What do you think? Is that out of bounds, or is that
– I don't think it's going to happen. I think it goes with
my – it's not going to happen now, yeah.
No, I don't want to think that that's true, because that makes it hurt even more. But like, it took me a while. I usually don't like a sporting event happens, the outcome happens, I move on to another bet. It took me a while on Saturday to kind of get back into college football after that TCU finish. I will not lie. Like it smarted. It left a mark.
Me too. And of course, you can always say this after the fact, but man, that was some strange play call. And he almost gets in on, what was it, the second or third down. Then they had two chances to sneak it, and then they run the ball where it's like, even if you play action and do a bootleg, he could have walked into the end zone. Really strange play calling. I don't understand why these teams don't like the quarterback sneak. It's such a hard play to stop.
The third down play in particular, I was like, I hope even if it's a run call, Duggan just looks at there's nothing in front of him, and he just falls down into the end zone. Oh. Real quick,
plus they let you push the quarterback into the end zone. They let you know you could put a bunch of guys behind the quarterback and just shove them in. Nobody disallows it.
The bush push is allowed. All right, 30 seconds. What you got in the NFL?
Raiders tomorrow. I got the Raiders plus 770 to make the playoffs. I think they can make a little bit of a run here. I think they'll beat the Rams tomorrow. Then they have 10 days off and get New England. New England will be playing second road game in 7 days next week. Then they are at the Steelers, the 49ers with a third-string quarterback. And then the Chiefs week 18, who might not need the game, may or may not need it. So Raiders plus 770, I think, is worth the stab here to make the playoffs.
Look at you, Will Hill, going Raiders. And a fine case for them as well you've made. All right. Going to play Baker Mayfield tomorrow night, are they? Is that who's going to play?
I can't see that. I can't.
They say he's. They did not rule him out to play tomorrow, which was fascinating.
Send him a playbook on the floor.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield, if you missed it, signed by the Rams. Thank you, Will.
See you guys.
Will Hill, everybody. At not the Will Hill on Twitter. We'll come back. We'll talk Super Bowl exactas next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Split bets?
Twice in a day. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way. So many. That VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets, Kelly. I don't know if you know this.
What we got? Book.
Sam Ginsberg. Gil, Sam from Pittsburgh, and I think I figured out the restaurant. It's Lucky Tropical Fish in Paradise, Nevada. It is not. People are going to start guessing places. Yeah,
if you start guessing every sushi restaurant eventually in Las Vegas, we're going to be here a while.
A Brown at ALB_ATC, revisiting the conversation you had with your Cowboys fan friend. Did you claim there are 10 wide receivers in the NFC better than CD Lamb? Run through that list for me, Gil. I'll give you Cooper Kupp, DeAndre Hopkins, Justin Jefferson, and A.J. Brown, no argument. You love McLaurin, because he's incomparable. So even if I give you him, debatable, he says. Who else? First of all, McLaurin is not debatable. Stop it. You have no idea what you're talking about with that. What I said was, I'm not sure he's even top 10 NFC. Because the question was, is CeeDee Lamb a top 10 NFL wide receiver? And I'm like, there's no chance he's a top 10 NFL wide receiver, because he might not be top 10 NFC. And let me just, so let's go through that list.
I've had to do this recently.
Okay. Cooper Kupp, DeAndre Hopkins, Justin Jefferson, A.J. Brown, Terry McLaurin. Those are the five he spotted me. Okay, even though he says McLaurin is
debatable. Are we just doing NFC?
Just NFC. Because NFL, he's not even close.
Yeah, no.
All right, here's some other NFC wide receivers, and you tell me if you'd rather have CeeDee Lamb over these guys. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Deebo Samuel.
I mean, absolutely Deebo.
You'd rather have Deebo.
Yes.
Yes. Mike Evans, although not this year, but Mike Evans. Who would you rather have on your team? Who would you bank on moving forward?
Oh, that one's tough.
Chris Olave, DJ Moore, DK Metcalf. The point is...
These debates always get tough because Is it for one game tomorrow or is it for the next 5 years?
The point is that somebody could make a relatively good argument that CeeDee Lamb is not top 10 NFC. So Forget about NFL. Sorry, CeeDee Lamb fans.
Was Nuke Hopkins on his list?
Yeah, Hopkins.
Yeah, that gave that one.
He agreed to Cup, Hopkins, Jefferson, and Brown, and then sort of mildly agreed to McLaurin. Man, I'll take Terry McLaurin over anybody.
Oh, I think McLaurin's definitely ahead of him now.
Yeah. But all those other guys, like, don't sleep on Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I would rather have CeeDee Lamb than Mike Evans at this point. I will err on that side with that one.
It's the problem.
Amon-Ra St. Brown? I mean, are we talking about a game tomorrow? Or are we talking about for the next 5 years?
I'm saying.
Because if we're talking next 5 years, I'm going to Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Anyway, the point I think is made is there's no chance he's NFL, and someone could make the case NFC that he's not.
Do you have Metcalf up there?
Yeah, I have him in there. I have DK Metcalf in there.
I'm with you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, Super Bowl exactas. Can we give our buddy, my mishpucha, Chrissy Anders, a little love here on this?
Hell yeah.
So exactas, typically known for horse racing, right? But Chrissy was the first person to take that and put him into sports betting, as far as I'm concerned. Now, as far as I remember. Now, if I'm wrong, Chrissy will tell me. But I believe he is responsible for doing that. Chrissy, by the way, super modest about some of the things that he has incorporated into sports betting that are now taken for granted.
Yeah.
So exact is in the NFL, which are up at DraftKings. Are they anywhere else?
I didn't search everywhere.
Okay. Who is going
They're
to
not be- up everywhere, though.
Who is going to beat who in the Super Bowl? Simply what it means. Not just the two teams to get there, but who is actually going to beat the other team, and they have corresponding odds. Now, Kelly, the one thing we should mention is they did not have every combination of your liking.
Okay, so oddly they didn't last night. They did this morning, from what I could tell. For whatever reason, they didn't have a lot of Cowboys options listed last night. I don't know why that would have been.
Hmm.
But then when we looked back at it this morning, they did.
They were trying to determine if CeeDee Lamb was a top 10 NFC wide receiver.
they were arguing about that, too. And then they decided
maybe he's not. We'll put him up. Okay, here are mine. And this answer would have been different for me before the Jimmy G might be back news yesterday. Because if I hadn't gotten that news, I would not have had the Niners in any of this. But because I'm getting that, again, listening to what everybody's saying, and even what came out of my own mouth about the difference between Jimmy G and Brock Purdy, the truth serum of my betting is that I still believe in Jimmy G. Drew had him as a top 10 quarterback, by the way. So here are my favorite three exactas.
Do you still believe that, I'm sorry, do you still believe the Niners have the best chance to win the NFC?
Yes.
Okay. I feel like we needed to clarify that after all of the stuff.
Because
today.
Jimmy G is coming back, or could come back. Because I still believe that team in a one-off playoff game beats the Philadelphia Eagles.
I don't agree, but I don't think it's that outlandish. I really don't.
That's the most complete team. You want to play that defense in a postseason game?
No.
I do not think you do. And again, Washington displayed to everybody, this is how you beat this team. And the Washington is a poor man's San Francisco 49ers. San Francisco can execute that game plan way better than Washington.
Sure. I mean, Philly also getting healthier.
Or a better rate. Yeah. I'm sorry, what did you say?
Pardon? I mean, Philly had interior defensive linemen that were out for that game that were a massive part of their run-stopping unit that will be back, but yeah.
Right. But Washington is no San Francisco. So here are my favorite three. Chiefs to beat the Niners. Chiefs to beat the Niners 40-1. Second favorite, 49ers to beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, 45-1. Third favorite, Bengals to beat the Niners, 110-1. Remember, these are numbers dependent here. If these numbers were different, again, they wouldn't be the choices.
Right.
But I like these numbers based on these bets. So the Bengals are the team that can get you really nice numbers.
And this is one, I guess we don't discuss this enough. We love looking at these. I think you and I each kind of, we'll bet these occasionally if we like numbers, fall in love with teams. But I don't know about you. Usually when I'm looking at the markets like this, though, I am looking at teams that I feel I have rated higher than the book, right? But they're usually not, they're probably not at the top of the market, so I can get a longer number on them because you want to have, this should be a, yes, you feel like you're getting value on this number, but it should be kind of a fun bet, right? I mean, this is.
But realistic too, right?
Right, yes, realistic. You have to draw a line at, yes, what can really happen and what can't.
You're not going to bet the Chiefs to beat the Eagles because it's too short.
Right.
You're not going to bet Washington to beat, I don't know. Let's go with.
Washington to beat the Raiders at 401. The Chargers.
Right. You're not going to bet that either. What do you got?
Yeah, for mine, one I'll have to make an adjustment on. I put Bills to beat the Cowboys last night because they didn't have a number up on it. That was one they didn't have listed. I'm so, like, I want to know what Bills to beat the Cowboys are.
So you're like, there must be something to this.
So at first I just sent it in with a question mark, but then Isaiah was like, yeah, it's 17-1. What are you doing, you idiot? It's right here. And I'm like, oh, they clearly just posted a bunch of the Cowboys ones. So I'm going to strike this one from the record because I wouldn't bet this at 17-1. I think it's a good example of what we're just talking about right now. I didn't know what the number was, so that's kind of why I put it on the list to begin with. In fact, if I had to choose between the Cowboys and the Eagles at 14-1, Bills to beat the Eagles 14-1 is the short shot in this market. I would rather have that in my pocket than actually a 17-1 on the Bills beating the Cowboys. So we're going to kind of ignore that one.
How do you feel about Dak right now?
Nah.
Yeah. Remember when I did that quarterback tiers thing and somebody gave me guff, you don't have Dak above average? I'm like, eh.
So here's the thing. I think there are three good teams in the NFC, okay?
And Minnesota is one of them?
Is not one of them.
As much as you wear that hat.
I think there are three teams that can compete to make a Super Bowl in the NFC.
Eagles, Niners.
Cowboys.
Cowboys.
I think there are three teams in the AFC, though, that are ahead of those three teams in the NFC.
Bills, Chiefs, and?
Bengals.
There you go.
So that's where I'm looking at Bengals stuff in this market. Mm-hmm. Bengals to beat the Eagles at 45-1, I liked. And then we landed on the same one.
There
Bengals to beat the Niners 110-1.
Joe Burrow not going to lose another Super Bowl back-to-back, is he? If they get there?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
And
either.
That team's like, they're peaking at the right time, doesn't it seem? Like Mixon's just about to roll back in. You just got Jamar Chase in. This team looks good offensively and defensively this year. It's a team to be scared of.
If we were ranking units on the field, because I always say, I was like, oh, Dallas might, even though Dallas might not be the best overall team, they might have the best single unit being their defense, specifically their front seven.
Yeah, that part of it terrifies.
Would the Bengals offense challenge that? Like, in other words, if there was one offense that you're like, oh, I could see, and the Chiefs obviously with Mahomes are always in play, but there's something about that Burrow offense when they're clicking.
Yeah, no, Gil, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. Could you make the argument that is the best offense in the NFL or will be by the time the playoffs hit? Absolutely. No question.
He's amazing. Joe Burrow is amazing.
The one I want to bring up quick on the AFC North, maybe on the other side, but are we overthinking the strength of schedule for these two remaining teams, Bengals and Ravens?
Well, remember, I kind of have said that recently. Like 3-4 weeks ago, there was a vast difference in their schedules, talking about the Ravens and the Bengals. So the Ravens ought to have been the favorite. But as those weeks have shrunk, and I get it, the Bengals still have to play the two tougher games. We might be overthinking it. Yes, absolutely we might be. We'll come back. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke in the Caribbean next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards rewards sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager with BetMGM. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I just want to read this one here. This is from Bob P. at Bob P. 6327. 6326 before that's taken. So I have Buffalo or Las Vegas available this week in a Survivor contest. Which way would you go? Oh, man. I don't want to give Survivor advice because we're going to do a whole Survivor segment tomorrow. But let's just, can we just preview it real quick? Because, again, we do it through Circa, through the lens of Circa Survivor. There are 70 entries left. Remember those first 7 weeks? Like over 6,000 of the 6,133 were bounced. And since then, it has just grinded to a halt. So here's the deal. Those are two of the six big candidates. I can't tell you who to play. But let me just say this about Survivor. We'll get to it tomorrow, Kelly. Of those remaining six, it's pretty evenly distributed as to what is available to people. So this is going to be a widely distributed week in terms of who picks what in Circa. Will that knock it down finally from 70 to something far less? I don't know. We'll see. Look at that. 15 have the Raiders left. 8 have Buffalo left. 11 have Cincy left. 9 have Dallas. That's the big one as 17-point favorite.
Yeah.
2 have Philly. 7 have Kansas City. We'll get into this tomorrow. Let's bring him in. From under a cloud of smoke, on vacation in the Dutch West Indies, everybody. It's Jason Weingarten, host of the Wide World of Weingarten podcast. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. Little rainy today, actually, but, you know, can't complain on vacation.
Can't complain on vacation. Hey, let me ask you about the Aaron Judge news. Again, Aaron Judge, who signed with the Yankees for 9 years, $360 million. What is your reaction to that?
You know, I thought he was probably going to sign with the Giants. I guess he got that ninth year, and it's pretty good money. He'd bet on himself, and if he'd signed last year, he would have gotten about $210 million, and he got $360 million, so sometimes it definitely pays. Bet on yourself, and I think from the Yankees' perspective, it was probably worth paying whatever he wanted to keep him as opposed to, you know, just the PR angle of losing Judge would have just not been good for a prominent team like that, but not surprised. I don't think the Padres were a serious contender. It was really the Giants who stay in New York, and he chose to stay in New York. I can't really blame him.
How much do you buy into that study about the Goldilocks baseballs being juiced at Yankee Stadium?
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. It's, you know, we've been arguing about MLB changing the balls for what seems like several seasons now. It's just kind of one of those things, like, whether I believe it or don't believe it, what's the change, you know? Like, there's nothing that's going to be done. There's not going to, you know, MLB is not going to change anything. What I thought was the most interesting takeaway from that article is how much MLB interfered with, you know, threatening non-union employees with being fired if they turned over balls. You know, it's probably true, but MLB is never going to admit to it, even if we catch them red-handed. Nothing's going to change. So don't dwell on it very much.
Have you made any baseball bets for 2023 yet?
No, it's too early, and the big, you know, we got the WBC this year, which I'm pretty excited about. So that'll get some of my attention before Major League Baseball. But just in general, with the free agent signing still going on, I'm not really in a hurry to jump into any of the baseball futures markets. I don't even really start doing most of my prep until, you know, the week after the Super Bowl, really. So I'm still in football mode and vacation mode.
Before we get into football vacation mode, can we talk about the World Baseball Classic for a second? Do you care to give like a thumbnail on a couple teams, a couple sides here?
I mean, it really comes down. It's a top-heavy sort of futures market. You got the USA, the Dominican, and the Japanese team, which are head and shoulders above everybody else. And, you know, in certain markets, in certain futures markets, there's you know, value deeper down the farther down you go. But this is really the kind of market where I don't see much value past the fourth or fifth or sixth, you know, favorite team. The only team I'd really look at is Cuba. But the same thing with every team, they just don't have the pitching to go against the U.S. or the Dominican. Like, you know, even Adam Wainwright and Clayton Kershaw and whoever else the U.S. team is going to get is going to probably be head and shoulders above everybody besides Japan and the Dominican. But it's going to be a fun tournament. I mean, I'm hoping that both of us are going to be in Miami for the bracket there.
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
But it's not going to be. I don't think this is the kind of field I'm looking at a long shot. Other than Cuba.
Just for giggles, what is Cuba and what is Israel?
Israel's like 100 to 1 or so. Same thing, though. They just don't have the pitching.
Yeah.
Even if they do get the best players available, Cuba's going to be between 12 and 14.
All right. And this is in March?
Maybe a little higher.
This is in March,
yeah,
Jason?
In the middle of spring training.
Okay. That's going to be awesome. Okay. About football, what have you bet this week?
I bet the Rams, actually. I like the Rams. I think it's not particularly realistic to expect Baker Mayfield to come in and, you know the playbook in 2 days, but I wasn't surprised that they claimed him. You know, I've seen Bryce Perkins play, I've seen Wolford play. I went to all the preseason games at home. So I'm very familiar with these guys, and you know, it's just pretty obvious they're not NFL caliber quarterbacks. Like they're good backups maybe, but you know, with the situation the Rams are in now, it's going to be nice to get a look at Baker Mayfield. And I'm actually a little pro Baker Mayfield. I know he's had a bad season. He's had a, you know, up and down career, mostly down. But when I look at him, I mean, his situation in Cleveland, it's Cleveland, so already starting off kind of on the wrong foot, but he's had a different offensive coordinator, I think, almost every season of his career. And it's just hard to get your footing in the NFL when your coaching staff is constantly changing and you're asked to, you know, be doing different things. And so now all of a sudden he's going into a very, you know, friendly offensive environment with Sean McVay. And I'm not 100% convinced that we ever see Matt Stafford play again.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Because I've said openly on this show, I think his wife is probably in his ear too. And she would make a good case by saying, what do you still have to play for? What's the point of any of this? So do you think Baker Mayfield becomes their starter?
1,000%.
Yeah.
Well, 1,000% his wife is in his ear saying, you know, what are you going back for? Another $20 million or whatever? I mean, money's money. But besides that, what do you got to prove? He's won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at his stats, I mean, I was actually just looking at this earlier because I wasn't exactly sure how old he is. I think he's 34. But when you look at the amount of sacks he's taken in his career, like his body age is way older than 34. I mean, he's the kind of football player where, you know, guys say it takes a while to get moving and get up in the morning. Like he's probably, you know, he's functioning, but how many more sacks do you really want to take in your career? What's another season worth at this point? So I think getting a look at Baker Mayfield here is totally reasonable. And is he going to be the starter for the Rams next year? No, too early to say, but, you know, maybe he just needed to get in a better environment. And Sean McVay is as good of a, you know, offensive coach that you can go from going from Carolina and Steve Wilkes and, you know, the Browns. I'm not high on the Browns organization-wise, as
All right.
you can probably tell.
Jason, 20 seconds. Give me your Nick Gates case one more time.
Well, I mean, he came back from several leg surgeries that, you know, most people probably would have retired from. And, you know, it's hard to live a normal life after you break your leg like that, let alone come back and play, you know, guard or center at the level to be a starter in the NFL. So when we talk about comeback player of the year, I absolutely think he's the comeback player of the year. No disrespect to Geno Smith, who I'm a huge fan of, but, you know, Geno Smith is more making a case for the MVP, in my opinion, than the comeback player of the year. He didn't come back from anything.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. Enjoy your vacation, man.
Thanks for having me. Always fun, Gil.
Jason Weingarten, kind enough to join us from the Dutch West Indies. By the way, mad scramble at the top of the Offensive Rookie of the Year market may be considered the only rookie quarterback who has played significant time for a team. That's Kenny Pickett. 25-1 or longer, that's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. All available for VSiN Pro subscribers only, though, at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. The Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.